This is Rock Chalk Sports Talk with Nick Schwert on new FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN.
All right, 4 o'clock hour here. It's Rock Chalk Sports Talk, new FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN. We're out here at Free State, the site of the 9th annual Rock Chalk Roundball Classic, coming your way about 3 hours from right now. This guy is going to be playing in it tonight. The great number 15, Elijah Johnson, back on the program with us. Elijah, how you doing, man?
Hey, how you doing? What's going on?
I'm good. I know you were in that camp game yesterday. How are the young guys looking?
They're looking real feisty. They had a little bit of fight to them.
What do you mean by fight? Like they just they weren't letting you guys walk over them or what?
Yeah, for the most part. I mean, it's a brand new group of guys and they figured it out real quick how to help each other win a game against some guys who've been playing together for a long time now.
What'd you think of Malik Newman? I know a lot of people are excited to see him after he had to sit out last year.
I like Malik. I think that he'll definitely add force to the guard position. He understands the game. He knows how to play, and he had reps last year with Coach Shell. So he kind of knows what Coach wants, and I think he'll do a decent job.
Now, he's a guy who's more of a two-guard. Devontae is a point guard, but he played off the ball last year alongside Frank. That's something that you kind of dealt with, right? You go into your senior season. First, you were playing alongside Tyshawn. Now, all of a sudden, you're the main ball handler. What was that transition like for you?
It was okay. I just wish I had more time to get adjusted to it, and I think it would have been a much different experience. But I think that it was definitely a unique transition that's tougher to go through than people realize. It seems like it's something that just becomes second nature, but it comes with a lot more luggage than people are used to or can see on the surface.
What are some of those obstacles that you have to kind of try and get over?
Well, first and foremost, it's much more tiring to be the point guard than the two guard for Coach Self. just mentally, physically, it's a tougher task. At the two spot, you pretty much can share or lean on the three guy for help, and you know you can work together in a tag team situation. But at the point guard position, you really have no left and right to you. You know, you're pretty much the head of the program. As Coach Self likes to say, you cut the head off, the body follows. So he likes to put the point guard on the toughest task most of the time when stopping the team. You know, there's just a lot more that comes with it. And I'm not sure if we really can just put the point guard label on Devontae because I think that he probably fits more into the role of me. And that didn't work so well with people labeling me as a point guard because I did play the two guard for 3 years, so I don't think it would be safe to call Devontae the point guard yet, but I do think the ball will be in his hands, if that makes any kind of sense.
Well, no, it does, but I think the question, the natural reaction to that would be, is that concerning at all if you've got a guy on your roster who you wouldn't label a point guard? Because I think the way most people look at it, and you probably look at it better than anybody else, certainly than me, is that every team needs a point guard. If you don't have one, might you be in a little bit of trouble?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But I think that the point guard, most of the time, it becomes the mental aspect of winning the game. I know some teams that can actually get away with not having a point guard if you have a good veteran at the two. You know, so sometimes it's canceled out to not necessarily have a demanding pass first traditional point guard. So I don't think that it's impossible to label us with no point guard, but I just think Devontae is more used to shooting right now than distributing. So, you know, when you talk point guards, you need somebody who's going to, you know, put those other four people in the game. So I don't know. I think it'll be interesting because you'll see Devontae in a different position and you'll see Malik on the court with him. I think that it'll be more like I don't know. I think this group will be different. I don't think it'll be like Devontae and Frank or me and Tyshawn, but I think it'll be a different kind of combination as far as who will be bringing the ball up the court this year.
We're talking to Elijah Johnson here on New FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN. Well, you know, you mentioned Frank and Devontae from last year. Like, their style of play didn't remind me of you and Tyshawn at all, but just the fact that both of them came to Kansas and neither one of them were traditional point guards. Like, I remember Frank as a freshman kind of joking that he had never played point guard in his life. He had always been more of a scorer. And that's kind of the case with you and Tyshawn when you guys came in, right? Because both of you guys were more than comfortable having the ball in your hands, but I wouldn't have necessarily labeled either of you guys a point guard.
Yeah, that's the thing. Coach Self, he finds a lot of good tweeners. You know, he finds people that's not really a traditional position, but that he can, you know, use in more than one type of situation. I think Coach is real good at that, recruiting tweeners. And, that's how I label the last few guards that come through the program. Honestly, I don't think we've had really just a traditional point guard. That's why when I hear that, I think I don't know what to think when I hear that traditional point guard rule, because back from Sharon and Mario, everybody was pretty much just interchangeable. Everybody can score and everybody can create for another guard. So I don't know. It'll be interesting to see this year, though.
I mean, you think that's a good thing to have, like, those interchangeable parts where there are multiple guys doing certain things as opposed to guys who have these really...
I think that's great. I think that's one of the things that Coach Self does that gets swept under the rug. And me being a player that played for him, coaches, he's really good at manipulating the game. And to have a tweener, it gives you an opportunity to do that from position 1 through 5. He started it with Perry, in my opinion. Just using Perry being a little undersized and kind of putting Perry out on the perimeter a little more for the opportunity to pick and pop. He didn't too much leave that opportunity for Marcus Morris when he was here, you know. I'm not so sure how he did that with Wiggs. I didn't really get to see Wiggs so much, but Wiggs is actually bigger than Perry, so he would actually be considered more of a four position-wise than anything, but he's a tweener, and he's between 1, 2, 3, and 4. You know, he can pretty much do whatever you need him to do. So I think coaches create a mismatch in a position for other teams, and he did the same thing with Josh this year, I noticed.
Yeah.
Because I don't think Josh was setting too many screens before he came to KU. Just my opinion. You know, I think Coach used that towards his advantage. I think Coach did that to give Josh a matchup problem on the perimeter.
What do you think of Josh's 1 year at KU?
Oh, man, he had a great year. He was, when I think of Josh, I think of Wiggs, and we all see what happened with Wiggs. I didn't get too much of an opportunity to play with Wiggs. I think I played with him maybe once or twice, but from everything I hear, he's another Wiggs. You know, he's a freak. He can do pretty much anything you ask him to do. And when I say that, that's where the word tweener becomes a little more emphasized, because, you know, Josh can't, you can't put the ball in Josh's hands to bring it up the court. You can't use him to set a screen. You can't expect him to go catch a lob. You can't expect him to rebound, knock down the open three. You know, and that just stretches him. I think that gave a great lighting to his game for NBA teams to watch him do pretty much position 2 through 4. Because it doesn't happen a lot. And Coach Self, I think he did a great job of showing that.
Yeah, and he's certainly going to be, you know, probably a top 3 pick in the draft this year. Frank's going to be somewhere in the mix, I'd imagine, as the National Player of the Year. I know people are going to use his size as a knock against him. They're going to use the fact that he stayed for 4 years as a knock against him. But just given the body of work, I mean, do you see Frank as a guy who not just deserves a shot, because I think we all agree he deserves one, but can you envision this scenario in which Frank's able to kind of find a home playing professionally?
Yeah, I think he deserves it. I think he deserves it. So for most of my answer, I would like to say that I think he deserves it to do what he had to do and thrown in the circumstances that he was with Nadir leaving school early. He had a lot through him early, and I don't think it ever broke him. I think that he stepped right into that senior role as a sophomore, and people kind of undermined that. So I think he did a decent job. I think that he deserves a good chance to find a home in the NBA. Yeah, I think he just deserves a fair shot. I don't think they should use his height or anything like that against him, because people had a chance to scout it for 3 years in school, and they still didn't do too good of a job. So you can't really use the height against them.
Man, we were talking to Tyshawn. We're talking to Elijah Johnson right now on Rock Chalk Sports Talk. Tyshawn joined us earlier in the week. I know he was playing in Turkey this past year, as were you. Do you guys cross paths at all during the season?
Yeah, we actually did. We ran across each other in Israel, too, but I set that game out. But we actually did play against each other in Turkey. The game was actually on April 1st, on April Fool's Day. it was a crazy game.
How was the season? You've been in Turkey for a minute now, right?
Yeah, this is my second time coming back to Turkey. I did half of my career here. I think it's probably the most comfortable place over there for me.
As far as basketball or just everything, as far as lifestyle
everything,
and all the stuff?
Everything as a whole. Basketball is good. The competition is as good as any on the European side. The money is good. The market is good. And I actually adjusted to the culture. So for the most part, I'm comfortable there.
I mean, do you kind of see that as a home, a place that you're going to be comfortable playing for at least the foreseeable future? I mean, I'm looking at your numbers. I mean, Tyshawn put up good numbers. You put up really good numbers, too. It seems like you guys both kind of found a lane over there.
Yeah, I definitely found a lane. They just wanted to use me differently in Europe than I was used in America once I caught on to the role that they wanted me to. I embraced it, and I took it to the roof. They want me to shoot the ball, so I shoot it.
So if a KU fan were to come watch you, would your game still be recognizable from your time in Lawrence?
No, I wouldn't think so. Not overseas. Not really. That's something that Tyshawn talks about a lot, how I play different over there than I play here. But, yeah, it definitely comes off a little bit different.
Well, I know we're going to be seeing you here in a couple hours at the Roundball Classic. This is an event you come back to the States every summer. You come back to Lawrence every summer to be a part of. What is it about this event that makes you want to be a part of it year after year?
It's giving back. It's giving back. It's one of the few events that I'm actually in town for every year. So I like to do that stuff while I can, while I'm on the side of the world. And, I always like to go to these events. Heartwarming. A lot of people come back. You see a lot of kids that don't really get to see us too much. And they pack the gym. I like that they do it at the high school because it's packed. You know, they get it nice and loud. And it's something that these people remember.
Well, EJ, it's always good to catch up with you, man. I appreciate you taking a few minutes to hop on with me. And we'll see you here in a couple hours.
All right, man. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it. I'm also
going
to have a basketball camp in Emporia that I was willing to – I wanted to talk to people about it tonight at the charity game, but I'm going to have a basketball camp in Emporia on the 20th of June. So if anybody wants to stop by, just let me know, give me a ring. I'll actually post it online, and maybe I'll shoot you guys some kind of rough draft of it or whatever. So you guys can invite.
We'll catch up here in a minute. Yeah, send us over some stuff, and we'll be sure to push it out over the air over the coming weeks.
All right, man. Thank you. Thanks for having me on. Take care, guys.
All right, thanks again, EJ.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, that is Elijah Johnson, number 15. You can see him coming up a couple hours right here at Free State High School. I'm Nick Schwartz. It's Rock Chalk Sports Talk on the new FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN. We'll take a quick break. Coming up, we got the Rock Chalk Roundball Classic Draft. Coming up at 5 o'clock, we'll talk to David Leske here in about 15 minutes on the new FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN.